Well, good morning, everyone. Remember me? Seems like it's been a while. I said to Angela, I'm nervous this morning. It's been a while since I've had the opportunity, it feels, to share the Word of God with you on a Sunday morning. This is my first Sunday preaching since Come Together, where, of course, I had the opportunity to preach the gospel on the Friday night of that stadium event here in our city. And most of you know that that was a dream fulfilled for me. And I just want to say that I was so blessed by your encouragement as a church leading up to the event and after as well. Truthfully, I don't think I've ever received so many messages of support in all my life. I had moments there where I just felt like I was being carried by the prayers of many. And also, didn't want to be so emotional about it, but I just want to say that I've been so humbled by how excited you were for me. And it felt like we were sort of living this dream together. And so I just felt so blessed that you were so happy for me. And I'm not going to lie, I'm not sure I've ever felt more pressure in my life. You know, if I bomb in Africa, you have no clue. Yeah, I can tell you whatever I want to tell you. Nobody really knows any better, but the magnitude of the event in my own city certainly brought a different kind of pressure for sure. And so I just appreciated the elders recognizing that, giving me some space to really focus on the event. And I thank you, church, for supporting that and allowing me to live my call. All right, enough of that. 6 weeks ago, I began a series of messages with you called Empowered, where we've been looking at the role that the Holy Spirit plays in our lives. Jesus made a shocking statement to his disciples in John chapter 16, verse 7, as he was preparing them for a time when he would no longer be with them. He said, "But I tell you the truth, it's to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." So Jesus is telling his disciples, you know what, guys, it would be better if I leave, because then I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you. And so for the last 6 weeks, we've been discussing how the Holy Spirit inside of us is actually better than having Jesus beside us. That's an incredible truth. And we've seen how the Holy Spirit forms and feeds us. We've seen how He inspires us to great faith, how He frees us from strongholds. We saw last week how the Holy Spirit reveals the Father to us. And I think the messages have all been fantastic and have shown us how the Holy Spirit empowers us in so many different ways. And today I want to end this series by looking at one more aspect, and that is how the Holy Spirit is a guide to us. You know, one of the most amazing things about the Holy Spirit is how faithful He is to speak to us and to direct us in every area of our lives. You know, I don't think anything brings me more joy or leaves me with a greater sense of awe than when I see the evidence of God's hand on my life. There's a great comfort in knowing that the Creator of the universe knows my name, that He has a plan for my life, and that He wants to lead me into it. And so if there's one truth that I hope sticks with you today as you leave this morning, it's this: the Holy Spirit wants to lead you. The Holy Spirit wants to lead you. In Psalm 139, David writes about how intimately involved God is in our lives, beginning before we even breathed our first breath. And he writes, "You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had even passed." The prophet Jeremiah wrote, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They're plans for good, not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." And so if God has plans for us, if he was laying out our days before we were even born, then it stands to reason that he wants to lead us into those plans. And a study of the Bible will quickly reveal that God has been actively leading his people all throughout history. And there are many verses that speak to his leading and to his guiding in our lives. David spoke of them often. In Psalm 32, verse 8, for example, he says, "The Lord says, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life." Church, God will guide you along the best pathway for your life. He says, "I will advise you. I will watch over you." David says in Psalm 37, 23, "The Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives." I love that statement. That means that God isn't just concerned with the big things. God is concerned with the little things in my life. He wants to lead us and he wants to guide us in everything, big and small. There's nothing too small for God to speak into. There's no issue too insignificant to bring before him. Isaiah wrote in 42 verse 16 about God, "I will lead the blind by ways they've not known." Do you feel blind? Well, God will lead you. "Along unfamiliar paths, I will guide them." Are you experiencing some things you've never experienced before? Going in places you've never been before? God will guide you there. He says, "I will turn the darkness into light before them and make those rough places smooth. These are the things I will do," God says. "I will not forsake them." Amen. And there are many more verses that show us how God wants to lead and guide us. When Jesus was speaking to his disciples and saying to them, "You know, it would be better if I left because I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit," he was speaking to this very thing. A couple verses later, he says, "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth." And so one of the main attributes of the Holy Spirit is that he is a constant help. He's a constant guide to us. As believers, we have access to him 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Sometimes we're being led and we have a full awareness of it. But there are other times that only in looking back can we recognize his guidance. You know, most of you know that God began to stir me in my teenage years about preaching the gospel. I've told often how seeing Reinhard Bonnke preach when I was 16 was the time when that seed to preach the gospel was planted in me. But recently, I was reminded of an event that goes back further than that. When my mom spoke here a few weeks ago, she spoke about a man in our church who, when we were in Swan River, who had died of cancer. And that man had a big heart, and I remember that he was a part of the Big Brother organization. And so he was a mentor to young men. And I remember one time he brought this young boy to our church that was the same age as me. And I don't remember exactly how old I was. I'm guessing somewhere between 8 and 10. And I remember, I was remembering the other day that when I first met the boy and started to get to know him, that I realized he didn't know Jesus. And I got this burden, I've got to share the gospel with him. I had no idea how to share the gospel. And I remember asking my dad about it and him giving me a little booklet, we called them tracts, I don't know why, and that explained the gospel, that maybe I could walk this boy through. And I still remember my heart pounding on the playground. I remember the swing set, where I opened the booklet and tried my best to tell my new friend about Jesus. As I look back now, I can see that even when I was 8 or 10 or whatever I was, the Holy Spirit was there, stirring a passion in my heart for souls before I even understood what he was doing. He was leading me into my calling at an early age. Church, if God knows us intimately, if he has a plan and purpose for our lives, If he's a present guide inside us, then we would be wise to seek his leading and listen for his voice always. We would be wise to determine, I want to be led by the Holy Spirit and nothing else. Jesus said in John 10:27, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. Are you listening for his voice? Can you recognize his voice? Are you following him? When we talk about the voice of the Holy Spirit, I think it's important that we understand that the voice of the Holy Spirit acts like an inner witness for us. Paul wrote in Romans 8:14, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. As children of God, then we should expect to be led. But what does it look like? Over my life, I've learned that the voice of the Holy Spirit is a still small voice. I don't think I've ever heard the audible voice of God, although some people claim that they have. But I have discovered that the voice of the Holy Spirit is a whisper that can shake me to the core. His whisper inside is the ultimate guide. And the voice of the Holy Spirit has often been described as an inner witness. It's a voice that affirms a direction, a voice that affirms a course of action. In Romans 8:16, Paul speaks of this inner witness in regards to our salvation. He says, for his Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. And so part of our assurance of salvation is that the Holy Spirit on the inside of us bears witness, or it affirms in us that we truly have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. And the Holy Spirit bears witness in a number of different ways. And we see some examples of this in Scripture. One of those is in Mark 1, verse 12, immediately after Jesus has been baptized, Mark records that the Spirit compelled Jesus to go into the wilderness. That word compelled is such a strong word. In the Greek language, if you look at it, it means to draw out with force. There's a notion of violence in it. In other words, there is such a strong sense of direction that the Holy Spirit gives that it's almost irresistible. If you were at the stadium a few weeks ago, you heard me tell my favorite story about when the Holy Spirit told me one time to pick up a hitchhiker. That was a time when I felt compelled. As I drove past that young man, the Holy Spirit on the inside of me, it was a whisper, but it was like a shout. Pick him up. I couldn't shake it. Even though I wrestled inside for several miles, I couldn't let it go. I would say the Holy Spirit was there on the inside compelling me. Sometimes the Holy Spirit prompts us to do something and it's not as strong as being compelled, but we feel this nudge on the inside. I wonder if that's what happened to Philip, the evangelist. He was walking down a desert road when the treasurer of Ethiopia came riding past him in his chariot. And at that moment, Acts 8 tells us that the Holy Spirit said to Philip, go over and walk along beside the carriage. Philip ran over and heard the man reading from the prophet Isaiah. Philip asked him, do you understand what you're reading? The man replied, how can I? Unless someone instructs me. And he urged Philip, come up into the carriage and sit with me. Now, I'm not sure if Philip was compelled or if he just simply felt a nudge. But by obeying the inner voice, Philip discovered a great purpose. God wanted to save the soul of that Ethiopian. And Philip ultimately led him to Jesus and baptized him. Sometimes the voice of the Holy Spirit comes as a check. It comes as a warning to us. We start out in a certain direction and then there's an uneasiness that comes into our spirit. There's an example of this with Paul and Silas. They were traveling around, they were preaching the gospel, they were obeying the great commission of Jesus to go into all the world, but then there was a time when the Holy Spirit stopped them. Acts 16 says in verse 6, next Paul and Silas traveled through the area. Oh, this was going to be bad. Phrygia. You guys have no better clue than I do. And Galatia. Because the Holy Spirit had prevented them from preaching the word in the province of Asia at that time. Then they came to the borders of Mysia. They headed north for the province of Bithynia. But again, the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them to go there. So instead, they went on through Mysia to the seaport of Troas. And that night, Paul had a vision. A man from Macedonia, northern Greece, was standing there pleading with him, come over to Macedonia and help us. So we decided to leave from Macedonia at once, having concluded that God was calling us to preach the good news there. How did the Holy Spirit prevent Paul and Silas from going? It doesn't tell us exactly. But I think there was a sense on the inside of them. There was a check that I don't feel right that we're supposed to go there right now. And so they tried to go somewhere else, but they had the same check. Ultimately, God was leading them to Macedonia. Now, interestingly, they were doing what Jesus had commanded them to do. But what we learn here is that even in obeying God, there is a timing for things. And that the Holy Spirit is the one who knows the best. There would be a time when Paul would travel into Asia and preach the gospel. But that time wasn't now. And there have been times in my life where I have been grateful for the check of the Holy Spirit that stopped me from doing something foolish or that I would regret. Sometimes the voice of God speaks to change our desires as He leads us forward. Paul wrote in Philippians 2:13, for God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases Him. When I was in my early 30s, something was happening that I never wanted to happen. I was sensing that God was calling me to pastor Harvest City Church. I had previously made an inner vow that I would never be a pastor. I just wanted to be an evangelist. I just wanted to preach the gospel. But now God was stirring and leading me in a completely different direction, and initially I was resisting. And I remember praying one day and saying, God, if this is really you, then you're going to have to change my heart. You're going to have to give me a passion for this because I don't have that. And something unexpected happened. God completely changed my heart. He gave me the desire to do it. And I believe the power to do it also. For 14 years, I feel like I've lived in His grace. And I have grown to love what I swore I would never do. You see, the Holy Spirit can change our passions. The Holy Spirit is an inner witness that affirms, checks, prompts, compels as He leads us forward. I want to end this morning by just giving you some practical advice or some thoughts regarding the voice of the Holy Spirit. The first one is this. I've discovered that the Holy Spirit often leads us in ways that are the complete opposite of our intellect. There's a verse in Proverbs that has always been one of my favorites in chapter 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all you do, and He will show you which path to take. Church, the Holy Spirit is way smarter than you are. So you would do well to always live your life seeking His guidance in everything. And oftentimes what the Holy Spirit asks you to do will offend your mind. When that lady, Terrell Smith, first called to introduce herself to me and talk to me about doing an event in Mosaic, I gave her all the reasons why it was a bad idea. Church, believe me, I was not wrong. Everything I told her was correct, factual. There were so many reasons why it wasn't logical. Ultimately, I jumped in with both feet. Why? Because the Holy Spirit compelled me. He provoked me. He checked me. He changed my desires. He did it all. You know, many of the best things that I have done in my life didn't make sense to my natural mind. Which leads me to say that following the Holy Spirit will require being willing to risk. A Spirit-led life is many things, but one thing it's certainly not is boring. The Holy Spirit will lead you to do things you would never do, to go places you would never go. And oftentimes, the greatest victories and the best stories are on the other side of your willingness to follow Him into the unknown. I've had several moments of gratitude over these last few weeks and months in regard to that stadium event. I remember here just in the last prayer time that we citywide prayer time that we hosted here at Harvest City Church. The week before the event, it was such a powerful time of worship and prayer. And I was just sort of in awe as I just reflected, God, look what has happened in our city and with the churches and unity and all this in the last 6 months. And I just was thinking, it went all the way back to, you know the story, when the Holy Spirit had showed up in my living room in a time of prayer. He had searched my heart. He had asked me questions. He had changed my desires. He had prepared me. Ultimately, I became willing to say yes. And this thought sort of hit me. What if I had said no? What if the Holy Spirit had just left me alone? I would have never preached in that stadium. I'm not sure of all the ramifications. I do know this. That Harvest City Church getting involved early was a huge catalyst for other churches in the city to get on board. We took some big risks as a church. We did, to jump in with both feet. I'm so glad we did. There may be risks in following the Spirit, but I think the greatest danger, and one of the things that scares me, is that I would miss God by refusing to respond when He leads me. A third thing is this, don't miss the supernatural waiting on the spectacular. And this is what I mean by that statement. Sometimes when we think of following the Holy Spirit, we're looking for something spectacular to happen. We're waiting for a Reinhard Bonnke dream where God shows us the map of Africa washed in the blood. With a voice, Africa shall be saved. But I've discovered that the voice of the Holy Spirit is often so subtle that I can miss the supernatural because it's too simple. When I first started to learn how to hear the voice of God, I was so amazed to discover that the voice of the Holy Spirit was simply a thought in my brain. It was through taking the prophetic classes, being mentored by Diane, having opportunity to prophesy, my father throwing the mic at me different times, telling me, prophesy, what? In those times when I was encouraged to step out on the little nudges and impressions that I began to recognize that God will just invade our thoughts. And sometimes the most profound or holy things would happen in places where I would least expect. One time on a trip we took as a young adult group, I think in my mid-20s, we went to Ireland. It was in the late 90s. We were having a prayer meeting in a hair salon in Wexford. The reason for that is that the pastor owned the hair salon. He was a hairdresser part-time. And our team had joined with some of the members of his congregation to pray about some of the upcoming outreaches that we had planned. It was sort of one of the first things that we did in Wexford, and so we were still jet-lagged and all that. And I was just sitting there in this hair salon, and suddenly the doors of the salon opened, and in walked this African couple. Walked just past me, sat down. I had never met them before. I had no clue who they were. I was just sort of daydreaming, probably jet-lagged. But as they walked past me, I had the most random thought go through my mind. That couple can't get pregnant, but I'm about to give them a son. Immediately I was thinking, what a silly thought. You don't even know if they're married. That could be a brother and sister. You see, it was all too simple. I was just having thoughts like, I'm hungry. I'm tired. Why are we having a prayer meeting in a hair salon? That couple can't get pregnant, and I'm about to give them a child. There was nothing spectacular about it. A simple random thought went through my brain. I tried to push it out of my mind. But another thought kept coming. What if God is speaking to me? What if this is the Holy Spirit? I did nothing with it that night. It was too weird, too random. But over the next few days, our team was invited to have a meal at that couple's house. I discovered they were indeed a couple. And so I went into the house and I was doing a little bit of scoping it out. Don't see any pictures on the walls of children. I didn't hear any children in the house. Starting to warm. Maybe God is speaking to me. Well, there was only one way to find out. And so at some point I went for a walk alone with the man. And I took a deep breath and I decided to take a risk. And I said to him, I think the Holy Spirit told me a couple days ago when you walked past me in the hair salon that you and your wife have been trying to get pregnant and haven't been able to, but God wants to tell you He's about to give you a son. He stopped in his tracks and he just stared at me like just could bore a hole through me. Did I get it right? Did I get it wrong? And then all he said to me was, go into the house right now and tell my wife what you just told me. I suspected it must be true. So I went in and I found his wife and I told her, and she just burst into tears. And she told me, she said, Joel, we're from the Congo. We've recently moved to Ireland. My husband was a preacher of the gospel in the Congo for many years. And the Lord has used him powerfully. He's moved in signs and wonders and miracles and prayed for many. Prayed for many who could not have children and seen God bless them with children. And one of the things that has grieved him and agonized him for years is how God would use him in other people's lives, and yet in his own life, he's been unable to have children. I prayed with them. Actually, they really encouraged me more than anything. I've never seen them again, so I can't tell you what happened. I'd love to know. But ultimately, I have to believe that if God would speak to me so randomly, so clearly, that there must have been a miracle. But here's my point. I could have missed the supernatural because it was so simple. And so random and so subtle. Finally, when it comes to hearing the Holy Spirit, we need to be mindful of some guardrails that can keep us out of the ditch. As we're following the leading of the Spirit, and trying to walk the path He has for us, I think there's a few things to keep in mind that will help us keep our feet on the pavement. Just because we can hear the Holy Spirit's voice doesn't mean we'll always get it right. And so we must always operate in a spirit of humility. That means we acknowledge that we can sometimes make mistakes and even be deceived. I learned early on that the scriptures tell us that the devil can disguise himself as an angel of light. I almost miss marrying my wife because I thought the devil told me, or thought God told me, that I was to break up with her. That's a whole story. Would have been the biggest mistake of my life. But I was sure in the moment it was God. Thankfully, my father was there in a key time to give me the true voice of God. I have learned that the Holy Spirit will never speak in ways that contradict Scripture. And I've also learned that He speaks to me through other people as well. The voice of the Holy Spirit oftentimes looks like, it sounds like your friend or your mom. One of the greatest confirmations that we have that the Holy Spirit is speaking to us is that He speaks the same thing to others also. I don't believe I've ever made a major decision in my life without having others confirm that they sensed the same thing in their spirit. It doesn't mean everyone is going to agree, but I've always felt that if I've heard from God, those who are closest to me will hear the same things. I can tell you honestly that sometimes I've heard God and I've been right, and those around me didn't hear that initially. But I've waited, and God has been faithful to speak to them. And until He does, I won't move. I believe a principle of Scripture is that there is wisdom in the multitude of counsel. God has made us interdependent on one another. He has placed us in family, in a community of believers where each person is to play a part. And so it takes humility to learn and to listen and to submit to one another. But when we do, God gives grace to the humble. I knew that God had spoken to me in my living room about Terrell. I knew it. I knew after I got off the phone with her that we were to go for it. I knew it on the inside. But the first thing I did was I went to Anatoly, who I trust. And I said to Anatoly, I think this is what the Lord is saying to me, but I want you to come and hear this woman. I want you to come to the first meeting in Regina and tell me if you feel what I feel. He did. We walked out to the parking lot. I said, what did you feel? He said, I feel we need to do this. We went to the elders. I explained to them what I felt God was speaking to me. Anatoly talked about what he felt God was speaking to him. As we shared it, we said, how do you guys feel? There was an immediate yes. I talked with my dad about it. I knew my dad would tell me the truth. But as we talked about it, he said, yeah, I think this feels right to me. We see this example in Scripture with Paul and Barnabas. In Acts 13:2, it says, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, this wasn't just Paul and Barnabas, this was a whole group of people, leaders in the church. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Notice the word they. They all heard. They all heard and confirmed the same thing. God is saying, set apart Barnabas and Saul. In Acts 15:28, in a time of seeking the Lord for direction on a matter regarding Gentile believers, we get this phrase, it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us not to burden you with anything beyond the following requirements. It seemed. The group together felt, yes, it seems as though this is what the Holy Spirit is saying. Is that what you feel? Yes. Okay, well then let's go with it. Church, I've seen too many people make mistakes out of pride when it comes to the voice of God. Don't be ones that play the God card. Too many people love to pull that one out of their pocket. When somebody pulls out the God card, basically they're saying, I'm not open to hearing anything else. God told me this. God told me that. I firmly believe that if God told you, He can tell your friends as well. He can tell those that God has placed in your life to help you. His community of believers, God has placed us in community. Why? Because it's His guardrails for us. Paul wrote in Galatians 5:25, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Church, isn't that amazing that the Holy Spirit wants to lead us step by step? So my challenge to us as I bring this series to a close, position yourself to hear the Holy Spirit. Seek after Him. Give Him room to speak. Don't lean on your own understandings. Let's be ones that say, Holy Spirit, fill me on a daily basis. Let's live the empowered lives He's called us to live. What an adventure is awaiting for us. Amen? Hallelujah. Why don't you stand to your feet this morning? Let's close in prayer today. Father, I thank You for this six-week study that we've done on the Holy Spirit. Lord, I think it's been helpful to us. Lord, I'm so grateful that when You left us, You didn't actually leave us. I'm so grateful that You sent the Holy Spirit to live on the inside of us, to help us even in the most insignificant details of our lives. God, I thank You that You love us so much that You care about everything. Lord, I thank You that You have a perfect path for us to walk on. That's amazing that You've got a path for each and every one of us to follow. And I thank You that You've left us the Holy Spirit as a guide. And so, God, I pray that You would help us to become better equipped at hearing the voice of the shepherd. Lord, there are a lot of voices in our world, a lot of voices in our minds. But God, would You give us the discernment to recognize, this is the voice of the shepherd, that is not. Father, would You help us to walk in humility with one another? God, would You keep us from the ditches? God, would You keep us from presumption? God, would You help us to get past our brain when You're telling us to take a risk? God, we just submit ourselves to You today and we just say, Holy Spirit, lead me. Amen. Lead me, Holy Spirit. Lead me. We humble ourselves before You, Holy Spirit, say we don't want to follow any other voice. Lead us. Holy Spirit, lead Harvest City Church. Holy Spirit, lead the eldership team of Harvest City Church. Lead the pastoral team of Harvest City Church. Lead us, Holy Spirit. If You don't lead us, we're in trouble. So lead us. Jesus, we need You. We need You. We want to hear Your voice. God, I pray that we would walk out of here today and there would be a greater hunger within us. I just want to hear the voice of God. Lord, I pray that a daily prayer, an hourly prayer would be, what do You want to do right now, Holy Spirit? How are You speaking, Holy Spirit? What do You have for me to do today, Holy Spirit? Oh God, increase the sensitivity of the dial. That we would tune in. That You could use us moment by moment. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Well, bless you, church. Remember, next week, only one service, 9:15. Brian Apenu is sharing the Word of God with us next week. Looking forward to that.
Well, that brings us to the end of our time together. We hope that you found insight and had moments that spoke to you right where you needed it. Before you go, share the love and post this inspiring video to your page. Who knows how many lives could be impacted by it? And if you aren't already, like, follow, and turn on your social media notifications to keep up to date on all the exciting things happening at our church. Here at Harvest City, we're all about connecting with our community and celebrating those big moments. Like if you've recently decided to fully dedicate your life to Jesus. We'll be your cheerleaders and help you take those first steps. And if you're going through a tough season, let us know how we can help you. Plus, we've got tons of programs for kids, youth, and adults if you're looking for a new community to be part of. To send us a message or check out more about HCC, head over to our website, harvestcity.ca. To all of our financial partners, thank you for investing into the kingdom of God. Your generosity allows us to keep doing what we're called to do and reach even more people. If you're interested in contributing, please visit harvestcity.ca/giving for more info. Thanks for being here. Keep living your call, and we'll catch you again soon.